Well, happy birthday, church. This is the day when we remember and celebrate the beginning of the Christian church, the gathering of followers of Jesus in all times and all places. Now, as big a deal as this is, it is easy to forget that our birth, the start of the Christian church, was born out of fear and confusion. We forget that after Jesus was betrayed, beaten, spit on, reviled, and crucified to death, and then after these what sounded like wild stories about him rising from the dead spread among his believers, nobody knew what to do. They were afraid. So they hid. Because they thought, well, if they killed our master, we might be next. So here they are hiding. It's 50 days later. And without them even expecting it, the Spirit came to them, the Holy Spirit, filling them with life and power. And suddenly the people gathered there began to hear the disciples speaking, everybody in their own language. Now, I know when we hear a story like this, we might assume that this is one of these supernatural events that only happened a long, long time ago in the Bible. But the problem with that kind of conclusion is that if we think that's the only thing that happened, then we will miss the ways that the Spirit continues to blow among us today. You know, every year at Pentecost, I like to remind us that in the languages of the Bible, Hebrew and Greek, the word used for Spirit had three meanings all at once. Okay? In Hebrew, the word is ruach. Sounds like you're coughing one up, doesn't it? Ruach. Okay? And in Greek, the word is pneuma, like pneumonia, pneumatic tool, that kind of thing. Right? And those words had three meanings all at once. It means breath, and it means wind, and it means spirit or soul, all at the same time. And it can't mean one without meaning the other two. This tells us the Spirit is God's own breath, the breath of life, the breath that fills our own bodies. And when God fills us in this way, it changes us. It transforms us, so the power living in us is not ours, but it is God's power. The Spirit continues to blow all around us. God continues to fill us with new breath that allows us to speak, to blow new life into the world, but also to fill our hearts and our souls. See, the Spirit does not only work in fantastic, inexplicable ways. The Spirit continues to blow around us and breathe new life and power into us. You may not know it, but we continue to speak the languages of other people in ways they understand today. It may not be in German or French or Japanese like we heard in our first lesson today. But it does happen through you every time when you speak to somebody who is struggling with an experience that you understand. The person who is struggling with addiction. The person who feels like they are lost inside because they have spent most of their life in fear and hiding to the point where they're afraid to be touched by freedom. And they are scared and they don't know what to do and they second guess everything they do in their lives. Or maybe you call somebody right after a crisis that you may not even have known about. And it turns out you were just the right person to call them at that time. That is the work of the Spirit. That is how we continue to speak other languages today. But you know that we live in a world that wants to write off the work of the Spirit as a bunch of superstition. So instead of the breath of life, the world wants to suffocate us with skepticism and division. See, the way of the world sees and hears different languages, and it uses our different languages to divide us, to separate us, to cause division, divide and conquer. It's not hard. We can all do it. All we need to do is focus on our differences instead of the things we hold in common. But the world we live in wants us to hold our breath, suffocating the life out of us, filling us with lies, telling us that mirages in the deserts of life are real, so that we can't tell the difference between a mirage and life-giving water, and that we should settle when we're thirsty for a mouthful of sand. And then we wonder why we're still thirsty. We're told we should keep chasing after the next shiny thing and that we'll be happy, that we will feel fulfilled as if something outside of us can do that for us. And then we wonder why we can't catch our breath. We live in a time when the anonymity of the internet allows people to say vile, incendiary, evil things without any consequences. Division is more and more common. Our world is choking us on sand and tells us we are getting life-giving water. The world wants us to hold our breath so that we suffocate. Take a breath. Breathe deeply, and not just any breath, but the breath of life, the Spirit of God, God's own breath, if you will. Will you breathe out mercy and love? Will you breathe out the compassion and new life that God has given you? Or will you hold your breath? Will you speak to those who've been hurting and lost, who feel forgotten, have been victimized? Or will you sit quietly and just hold your breath? It's not our power. It's not our ability. It is God's breath. It is God's ability. It is God's Spirit who speaks for us, who speaks through us, and breathes new life and power into us so that we can not hold our breath, but exhale and blow it into the world. If we just hold our breath, we are no longer alive. So since it is our birthday today, it's good to reflect on a question. What were you born for? What is your purpose? Nobody can tell us specifically what that is, but it does have something to do with exhaling, with blowing God's mercy, with sharing God's love, the way you have been bought back, your clean spirit and soul with those around you who cannot catch their breath. Do not settle for a mouthful of sand when you're thirsty. Do not hold your breath when you have been filled with real power. The Spirit is ready and waiting to work in this world. And all the Spirit needs is for us to give it form. The Spirit blows in places we would never expect. Steve Bogie, the intern, he graduates today. For about 15 years, Steve was a traveling professional musician, opening for bands all across the country. And in those days, he never, ever thought he would be a pastor. But God's faster. He couldn't run away. The Spirit is also blowing into you. You who feed so many, who care for so many, you who speak so many different languages, languages of love and compassion, understanding, mercy, and peace, with just the right words somebody else needs to hear. That is the work of the Spirit. While the world wants to use our differences to divide us, God sends a Spirit to us to unite us, to bring us into new life, a new time, a new era. God has already laid particular acts of love, mercy, and generosity on your hearts. Don't hold your breath with that. Breathe in God's breath and listen for God's breath to reveal to you what has already been laid in you, how it will bring you deeper peace and contentment and connect you with the purpose of what you were born for. It happens all kinds of ways. Some kind of passion. Maybe you feel an urge to feed hungry people. Maybe you have a calling to protect abused children. Maybe you have a desire to care for the homeless. Maybe you have the gifts to minister to those who are lonely, whose own kids never even see them anymore. Maybe you hear Jesus' words. Whenever you gave water to the thirsty, clothes to the cold, a place to live to the stranger, you did that to me, Jesus said. And when you do, maybe you even realize, hey, wait a minute. I was in that spot once too. Maybe not literally dying of thirst, but a time you were so thirsty for mercy, dry and aching for a chance at life and a new beginning. And you realize, usually after the fact, God has been to visit you. And maybe you didn't even know it in the moment. So happy birthday, church. Use the different languages of the heart you speak, not to divide, but to unite. Take a breath. Take a deep breath. But don't hold it. Breathe it out. Blow God's life-giving breath into the world. That is how the Spirit continues to work.